At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show, and have we got a show for you. We've got Jack Farmer, Jimmy Corderas, and Justin Labar. That's how I'm leading in with, because it's Triple J, and we are back, baby. Justin, how have you been? It's been so long.
I'm great. The wrestling world is rocking and rolling with mostly positive news and positive accomplishments. And we're entering in the fall season. I love the fall season. Weather gets a little bit cool. Football's back. Baseball's done the home stretch. Kids are back in school. It's good times.
Mm-hmm. In that football season, that fantasy football season coming up, where I always compare my record to Justin Labar's. This year, I have a bad feeling about old Jack's Farmers, but we'll see how it plays out. Jimmy, how are you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. A lot of things going on right now, especially the new news. I won't only be on Wrestling Inc., but Sunday nights here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeartRadio. New show Huge Pop with my good buddy Donnie DeSilva, who's been in the business since 96. He's been doing some booking. He's been a producer. He's done a whole bunch of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's called Huge Pop?
Huge Pop.
Huge Pop. And what time is it again?
It's going to be on from 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. on Sunday nights here.
Oh, those are some saucy hours for Corderas to be on.
Yeah. Hey, not for me, man. I'm a late night guy.
I know, but anything goes at 11 to 12 with you Greeks. You never know what's going to go down.
It is linear radio, so you know there are some guidelines, much like here.
Not when Jimmy's on, though. Jimmy's going to let it fly. Everyone, make sure to tune in. Find that on iHeartRadio. That means I'm assuming you can find it on the app there.
What is on your ear?
Oh, it's still there? Oh, yes. Damn. This was a gimmick they tried years back because they gave us radios where, you know, they had several channels on it and you'd get in touch with everybody from props to a production office to whatever. And instead of trying the radios, they tried these things. And believe it or not, it's an earpiece where you can change channels with an up and down button. And it had a volume button on the side.
That was before that's what they wanted you to wear in the ring.
No. This was just for backstage while we were setting up the ring. While we were
I was like, no way they ever talked to you in the ring.
No. The IFBs are kind of like this. They tried to hide them as best they could, but this was just for production during the day.
I've worn an IFB. That's enough to deal with anyways, but especially much less. I don't know about you. I mean, I've worn sitting at a desk, much less having to run around and ref like he does. But I was going to say, if they wanted you to wear that thing, that's cumbersome.
The worst part about the IFB is when they're talking to you during a match and you're trying to, and they just up, and you're going, okay, I got it. Jeez.
Well, they have the feedback now. I don't know if they did when you were there, Jimmy, but
no,
the refs now, they can talk back to them.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you had to hand signal and stuff to him before in the old days, right, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. Did you get that? Hey, did you get that? You got to stick your arm up in the air so they can see it visible. Yes, I got it. You know.
I saw that, and I thought you just had a weird new headset on. I was like, okay, interesting, but whatever.
it's amazing what I'm finding lately. They're just, I don't know, we're cleaning up a little bit around the house, and all of a sudden these things pop up, and I'm like, okay, totally forgot about that deal.
Danny says Jimmy used to send smoke signals.
No, not around Vince.
Well, we had a big weekend, Justin, as you alluded to, lots of wrestling, lots of stuff happening. We actually covered All In here on Wrestling Inc. Flobo Boyce and I, everyone who hasn't had a chance to check out that review, make sure to go on and check that out. It's a fun conversation, but what I thought was a fun show. Did you fellas have a chance to check out the show? Any thoughts on that one? Jimmy, I know you were lurking at one point.
Yeah, I lurked for a little bit, but I enjoyed the show. I thought it was a good show. I really enjoyed Swerve and Bryan Danielson. I thought that match not only delivered, it was, you know, it was more than a banger. It was great. It was awesome. And seeing Daniel Bryan win the championship, I thought was a nice touch. I only wish he would have had a little more time for celebration at the end. It almost felt like, oh, here we have to rush it. Almost like the Sting deal when he retired, you know. Try to time it out a little better so we could see it a little more.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun show. I thought it was one of AEW's better ones in a while. This is a WWE show, so we won't go too far into it. But Justin, did you have a chance to see it? Any thoughts on it?
I did. I didn't watch live, but I caught it later on my Sunday evening. And yeah, I agree. I think it was a really enjoyable show. It looked great, sounded great. So props to them overall. I thought actually, you know, how much they had actually given us match wise in the first 90 minutes, I thought was a really good pace. They were moving at a pretty good clip, and then it did slow up. And you want to give time and stuff for obviously your top of the card, but like, you know, yeah, to Jimmy's point, they kind of had to rush a little bit towards the end, and you could feel it. You know, some little critiques are always. The gauntlet thing was fun. That's a very fun concept. There, it's slightly like a Royal Rumble, but of course, it's just whoever can get a first pinfall. It is fun the way they constructed it. Pretty much everybody is a surprise for the most part. That's kind of fun to do. I was surprised Okada was a surprise. I'm like, here's one of your biggest investments and one of the biggest headlines you made this year, and you don't have him in an advertised match for your biggest show. That kind of threw me. But really, overall, a lot of things, a lot of positives I liked about it. Let's hope that they can take that momentum. And now, especially with Bryan as champion, it's, you know, all eyes are on him and what he does next. Let's hope they can run with that momentum.
Yeah, Wednesday will be fascinating to see. Again, if you didn't get a chance to see our coverage on it, it's up on wherever you find your podcast, YouTube, everything like that. But hey, we're keeping that kind of stuff going. This weekend, we're covering a double header of WWE stuff happening. We've got Flobo Boys and myself. We're covering Bash in Berlin on Saturday. We're going to get to our predictions for Bash in Berlin at the end of this show. That's our tease, folks. But also, Flobo Boyce is going to be back with Glenn to talk all about No Mercy on Sunday. So, doubleheader this weekend for more coverage here on Wrestling Inc. You got to follow Wrestling Inc. for all the coverage here. Something that was on the news today, and it's no good. It's not a fun piece of news. But Sid Vicious, legendary wrestler, former world champion, has passed away at the age of 63. He's been a multi-time world champion. His son Gunner announced his death on social media, and the news was confirmed by PW Insider's Mike Johnson. Justin, terribly sad news when someone passes away, obviously. Any memories of Sid? And while you're going, I'd like everyone to chat to share their memories of Sid.
Yeah, very sad news. 63, that's young. I'd seen some pictures over the last few years of him through one thing or another. It seems like he's been around family. Obviously, it seems like he's definitely been off the road, and he's been, you know, living life, but also battling, I think, cancer, right? There's that one part where it's like, oh, that sucks that he's dealing with that, obviously, any kind of illness. But there's also a part where it's like, you know, you look at the generation he came from, it's nice that he has been with family, and I don't know, it was cool seeing some of these more humanized pictures of a guy who was so intense. And yeah, you never saw like him breaking character. Of course, he was not all, you know, he was not in the social media era. So I have a ton of memories of that. When I was a kid, I was, I would stand in front of the mirror and try to reenact his exact promo that he does for Rumble 92. You know, they do the whole Rumble thing. So they go all the pre-tapes, all the guys backstage telling you why they're going to win. And I won't do it here, but I would do it in the mirror and do his as Sid Justice. A lot of memories of him as Psycho Sid. I think that music, the pyro spelling his name out, the intensity, the fist pounding, that was peak Sid. I was really glad I tweeted this earlier that I'm glad the video package WWE showed tonight. I'm glad they mentioned this exact fact, because I tweeted, I said, look, you know, Sid, you know, was in a lot of places, did a lot of things. Sometimes gets lost in the shuffle of his resume that the guy main evented two WrestleManias, one with Hulk Hogan and one with The Undertaker. That's not nothing. Okay. So, I was a big Sid fan. I was at that Raw 1000, you know, when they were bringing all the legends back and around. So it was cool to see him part of that. He's one of those guys I have a regret that I never got to, you know, I've had the privilege at this point to whether working on the indie scene or interviewing in some capacity. He's one of a very few that I never, ever got to come across and do anything with or even meet and shake his hands. That's always kind of bugged me. He was booked for one show my grandfather had, was part of back in the 90s, and he didn't, whatever happened, booking changed. So I never got to meet him then. So sad news. I'm great to see the entire wrestling community celebrate him, because he's a guy that I don't think got celebrated enough. You know, I think he was just like a big man from the big man era, where big men were kind of usually generalized as fee, fi, fo, fum, and Sid was far more than that in the ring, physically and athletically, and promo wise on the mic.
Sid Vicious is truly one of my all time favorite wrestlers. I was such a fan of him. I posted on Twitter earlier today that him in that Royal Rumble where he eliminated Hulk Hogan is one of my earliest wrestling memories. Now, I'd watched wrestling before, but that's like the earliest I actually remember that moment while I was watching it, because it was so confusing. Like, Hulk's being such a sore sport. What? Like, why is he seemed like a bad guy at the time. I was like, what are you doing, Hulk? But I love that Sid eliminated him. I was so happy because I was a big Sid fan. And very much in some ways, not intentionally, but like a cool bad guy before it was cool to be a cool bad guy, in the sense that not because he was doing cool stuff, but like people loved, like people liked that he was the bad guy. He was just a great bad guy. And I loved him in WWE. I loved him in WCW. I loved him in ECW when he had Judge Jeff Jones just come out of nowhere and be like, "You're guilty." And Vicious would just wreck the people in the ring. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Cause this is just a little thing too, but it's also his Madison Square Garden thing, because he was so big, he had like duck under the entranceway a little bit. And in ECW, they had like the brick wall with the hole in it. He was so big, it looked like he was the guy that broke the brick wall. It was like perfectly shaped. I was like, this guy is so awesome. Every time he performed, he put a smile on my face. His promos were ridiculous. It's kind of a joke, but I still loved it when he jumps on top of the smashed car and he's like, Goldberg! Yeah. I was like, yes, this guy, I love it. He just absolutely one of my all-time favorites. And so very unfortunate to see him go. Jimmy, any thoughts on Sid? Do you have any stories of Sid or remember working with him or anything like that?
Yeah, I got to work with him. I was blessed to get to work with him. He was such a nice guy. I remember when he first came over, he introduced himself, and I was like, this is cool. I wanted to go up and introduce myself to him and let him know who I was, and not letting him think that I was just some hanger-on in the back or anything like that. But, you know, he was really good. Like Justin said, he carried himself well, especially like you talk about the airport test and not breaking character. When he was out in public, he was Sid Vicious. Mm-hmm. He was Sid Justice. I mean, he was all of that. And I remember one time he was telling me I was working a match with him, and he bowed up to me and stuff like that. And I really backed off, like really scared, and almost jumped out of the ring. And when we got to the back, he just said, "You know what? Yes, I get it. You're supposed to maybe cower a little bit, but don't overdo it, because still you're the he's trying to tell me you're the referee. You can back off a little bit, but don't run." Yeah. Teaching me little things like that, you know what I'm stuff. So he says, "Don't be afraid of me. I ain't going to hurt you." And he's, you know, and
yeah.
He was just like that kind of guy. He was very helpful. He was very kind, and he was fun when he wasn't in public. When he was public, he was, you know, not mean, but just not, you know, like they are now, where they're happily posing for selfies and signing autographs and all that sort of stuff. But he was a cool guy and just. It's really sad when we lose someone like that. Yeah. Anybody.
As the kid, of course, watching him, I always said one of the reasons he was my favorites is, and this is as a kid wrestling fan, is like, well, he's one of the best. He has a choke slam and a power bomb. Anyone could really do it, but like, he has it. So he's one of the best. Those are the best moves. So I used to always love him. But I don't know. Just very, very sad. Everyone in the chat, again, share some of your favorite Sid Vicious moments. Bummer news. And hopefully he gets in the Hall of Fame sometime sooner rather than later. I have a feeling he will be. Speaking of WrestleMania main events and people Sid Vicious had matches with, The Undertaker was backstage at Raw after SummerSlam, and he had some words to say about that on the 6 Feet Under podcast. Undertaker said, quote, "The whole time I sat up at Gorilla, right with Paul and then Bruce Pritchard, then myself was up there, and I was like, this show's really 3 hours long? Like, I know it is, but I was just like, when you guys go to Netflix, is this show going to cut down back to 2 hours, 3 hours? I mean, why 3 hours? Like, it's been 3 hours forever now, right? But I was just kind of trying to stress the point of 3 hours is a lot of wrestling. Justin, I feel like, you know, I'm glad he said this on his podcast because he sounds like every wrestling podcaster talking about how long Raw is.
Yeah, I mean, so Raw, yeah, 3 hours is too long, and all across sports and entertainment recently, everybody's starting to really come to the realization, like you know, Major League Baseball has done a lot in the last few years with pitch clock and speeding things up. Even NFL football games, their TV blocks are usually 3 hours, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock here on the East, but they even try to like keep inside of that. Like, you know, it's proven people's attention spans now more than ever are just quicker than ever. 3 hours is a lot. Now, wrestling fans are unique, especially WWE fans. They are unique and they tune in. And then the reality is for USA is even if the third hour of Raw does the lowest viewership, that viewership each week is still far and beyond better than anything else. USA, where they can run syndication of Law and Order or any of the shows they could run, and that third hour of original programming from Raw is still better. So, you know, getting off USA, I do suspect once they get to Netflix that we will see a shorter show. I don't think it's going to be a hard line. Oh, it's 2 hours every week or it's 2 hours and 30 minutes. I think it's going to be like most of your series on Netflix. Some weeks episodes, it might work out that it's 2 hours and 15 minutes. Others, it might only need to be 2 hours. Some, oh, The Rock's back. We're going 240 tonight, but I think there'll be a very soft ending that they can do, which is going to help them. They won't have to rush things or they won't have to drag things out. So I'm looking forward to that. My what I hope doesn't happen though, I don't want Raw to revert back to a nice soft cushiony two and change, but now that SmackDown's moving to USA and USA goes, well, we're pretty used to 3 hours of WWE programming. Let's on a single night, let's get to that, and then SmackDown gets expanded to three. I don't want that to happen. So this will be interesting to see, and I think Triple H is in favor. There's a clip way back when, you remember when Stone Cold did his Broken Skull podcast, and they were recorded in the arena after Raw. Triple H was a guest on one of those, and in so many words, without Triple H, I think he was dancing around his words without, making the old man too irate. He basically alluded to the fact that, 3 hours every week is a bit of a bit much. So I think he's ready to shorten Raw for the sake both of himself as a fan and himself as the booker.
Yeah, and I think I'm a big believer in. I have a short attention span too. 3 hours is a long time. And I feel that way about every, like movies. If I see a movie, I always say, if it's over 120 minutes, every second of that movie better be like, you could not cut that out. If there's a second in there where I'm like, you could have cut that out, I get crabby. I'm like, why is this in here? It's so long. I like shorter programming in general. So I think 2 hours is great, but I agree with Justin. I don't think they'll have a hard time anymore going forward on Netflix. I don't know if there's a benefit to time on Netflix. Like, I get the time on USA, but I wonder if there's a monetary value of more time on Netflix.
Netflix values minutes engaged. So they're not, it's not like, they're not looking for you to produce a longer duration of an episode. They just want engaged minutes. So if you can tell them, hey, look, if we do this 120 minutes, and we also don't know what the situation is going to be with commercials or advertisements, but whatever. If WWE says, look, we're better off giving you 120 minutes, and that's going to be super well engaged, better than if we gave you 160 minutes, and it's going to, I think Netflix, they're worried about engagement. And so if WWE can sell them on, let's give you a tighter, better show every week, I think that's going to be fine.
Well, I would love that. Jimmy, what are your thoughts as someone who's worked on these shows 3 hours every week? And do you think from someone who works for WWE, the difference of what 3 hours could be? What are some pros and cons? 3 to 2 hours.
Well, the pros obviously are that you get the opportunity to put more people on television and tell longer stories, and you don't have to rush through things. But at the same time, wrestling is unique, like Justin said, where they have 52 weeks a year of live television. That's difficult to write for. And if you're doing 3 hours every night, plus you've got multiple shows that you have to put on television. So that is a tough task for the creative process. So I'm personally in favor of shorter shows, 2 hours. For me, when I was actually in the ring and working and stuff like that, it didn't really bother me as much. It was more for the talent that it was more of an issue. But for me, I would like to see shorter shows. Like you guys said, I can't tell you how many times I went to the kitchen for something, anything. It's almost like, what do we got in the cupboard? What do we got in the fridge? Yeah. You know what I mean? So the attention span is not what it used to be, even for me. And I love wrestling, too.
Yeah, it's 3 hours is a long time for anything. So I would love it to be 2 hours. I've always appreciated a 2 hour show, 3 hour pay per view. Perfect for me.
And that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. That's really that really is the winning formula.
Yeah. So you have our votes. There you go, Triple H. Just do it. Just listen to us.
Hold on. I just got a message from Triple H. No, I'm kidding.
No, I just got a message from Triple H. He has listened to Wrestling Inc. Hey, he's on Twitter, he says. Speaking of podcasts where people are talking about things, Rikishi has some things to say. He was talking about Jey Uso potentially taking a break. Rikishi said, quote, "I thought once the Money in the Bank thing went through with Drew McIntyre winning over Jey, I said, well, let's see what they do now. Maybe they would give Jey a shot, set him up for some type of belt, maybe an Intercontinental Championship. Or if you ask me, I think he deserves a shot at the World Championship." This was on Off the Top podcast. When that didn't happen either, it's like, okay, I'm at this point where I just want to call my son, Jey Uso, and say, hey, go ahead and just take a break, because obviously the writers don't know where to put you or where they can write something that's right for the character of Jey Uso, the Yeet Man. Justin, there's a lot I feel like I could take away from what's being said here, but I'm just going to let you run free. What are your thoughts here?
I don't get this. I understand this is a father speaking, but with all due respect to the Hall of Famer Rikishi, to me, what he's saying here, if Jey Uso was to do that, if Jey Uso was basically to go to the writer's room or go to Triple H in the office and say, you know, it doesn't seem like you guys have much for me, I think I'm going to go home. You call me when you got something better. I mean, to me, that just comes off as like taking your ball and going home. You know, we've heard that phrase be used in the past or in history. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, it's not like he's sitting and catering. I mean, this guy is getting some of the loudest pops. I hear that his merch is moving amongst the best of anybody. You know, yeah. Has he been in the main events and come up short most of the time? Like when he's been in the meaningful, yes. But he's in the main event, so that's something that not everybody can be in the main event at the same time. So, you know, he's over like Rover with the crowd. That Fanatics Fest they did last week in New York. From everything I've heard and talked to people that were there, both as fans and people that are in the business, like he was again super over there. One of the biggest attractions they brought there. So that doesn't make sense to me to tell him to go away while they are reacting the loudest to you. I just don't. I mean, yeah. Of course, you want to see the best creative, I'm sorry. No disrespect for Casey, but that just makes no sense to me.
Yeah, Chris Reef in the chat says easily the loudest pops. I was at Providence tonight. Nothing close. I get. Dad trying to say you gotta do more, but I mean, really, like Jey Uso is doing about as good as you can ask realistically of any pro wrestler. I mean, he's doing better than 99.9% of any other wrestler in the world right now, or at least in the United States. He's doing just fine. I get there is a desire for him to be at a higher level, and I think that based on the numbers, I mean, sure, you could put him there, but that's just, you can't just bounce around titles in that way, Jimmy. Any thoughts on this?
No, I just think he's the ultimate utility player that's still immensely over with the audience. So why would you want to change that? You know, you run the risk of pushing him into feuds and rivalries and title situations that are unnecessary right now. He doesn't need them because mm-hmm. he's that over. You know, you get guys who are, you know, that there are times where there are certain talent that need a championship to take them to the next level. He doesn't need that right now because he is at that next level. Yeah. It's almost like a Dominic Mysterio on the heel side. What more can he do to get more booze? Do you know what I mean? So, and like you said, Justin, he's moving merchandise out the door. Yeah. So why mess with a formula that's working right now?
Yeah, I mean, like my philosophy to it, and I don't know if this is what Triple H and WWE are doing, but my philosophy to this would be, so you want to make as many guys as possible, heel and face. So that way everybody has a lot of other people to work with and make money with. And of course you want the company to make money. So my thought is, if without a title and without any major singles main event wins, if Jey Uso is still, without all that, still as popular as he is, so he's helping draw tickets, presumably. He's clearly making the company money in merch. Everybody's having a good time. If he's able to sustain all that to that level without you giving him titles and all these wins, that then allows you to take that space and time and titles and everything else to help try to push a Bron Breakker up. So then once you get Bron Breakker up there, now Jey Uso's got somebody else he can work with. Or let's try to take the time to push a Pete Dunne up into the mix. So now Jey Uso has somebody else to work with. Like that to me is like, it's kind of like, they're like, wow, Jay's so over, we don't got to do much with him. Let's just kind of keep him here. It's not that they're forgetting about him, but like, let's keep him here. Let's let the crowd yeet every week, but let's also put some more time, more work in to get some guys up to closer to his level. So then when we get to Survivor Series or Rumble or Mania, we've built somebody up that we have a really big match for everybody to eat, to feast on to the bank.
Yeah, I think that his time will come. And sometimes when you wait, that when the time comes, it's a bigger moment than if you just got that instant satisfaction. So I think that Jey Uso, unless things really start to go downhill for him, he's going to get a title. He's going to get a big title. He's going to be just fine.
When the time is right.
Yeah, and then it'll feel like a huge moment as opposed to just, oh, I guess he's hot now. Let's just give him a title. And that's like the worst thing in wrestling is when people start doing the hot shotting where it's like, oh, this guy's hot right now. Give him the title. Oh, this guy's hot right now. Give him the title. That stuff never works. Well, maybe it does. I don't know. I just threw that out there. But speaking of people coming back, Cryptic Post by Alexa Bliss went down. She posted a picture of, or a GIF of Taylor Swift. Lifting her eyes to the camera with the words saying, "Are you ready for it?" Everyone assumes that this means that Bliss may be coming back soon. Jimmy, do you think we're going to see Alexa Bliss back, or is she just getting ready for a Taylor Swift concert?
I don't know. The way things are going with Taylor Swift, that could be a very viable possibility. But it sounds like she's teasing a little bit of a comeback, and where that ends up, I don't know. We shall see. But I like the cryptic video. It looked good. If she did it herself, hats off to her for doing it and getting people talking. That's what you want to do. You want to get yourself out there, get people talking, and have them thinking, where's she going to end up? I'd love to see this. Right, all the right moves.
Yeah. Baby Ice says, my vote is the concert. Have fun, Lexi. Justin, are you going to be going to the Taylor Swift concert anytime soon?
Well, if it's between my mortgage and the concert, I don't think so.
To go to Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah, I mean, Wrestling Inc. and Busted Open are taking care of me, but they ain't taking care of me.
Man, I think even Elon Musk has to put it on the credit card if he's going to be buying one of those tickets.
I mean, it's nice to get paid to talk pro wrestling, but I mean, you still got to still got to save a little bit for a rainy day. Obviously, you know, this is fun for her to get some buzz going. There is such a connection with her, obviously, in the Bray Wyatt universe and the Bray Wyatt lineage. So I would totally get that. But once this Wyatt Six got formed, and we have clearly seen, and they've referred to her by name, that is Nikki Cross, who's playing the Abigail the Witch. I don't know if they need another female character in the group, and that's not a sexist comment. My point being is that if you look at the landscape of WWE, having Wyatt Six having one female talent, that makes sense because American Maid, they have a female in Ivy Nile. Alpha Academy, they have a female in Maxine. LWO, they have a female in Zelina. So, like, it made sense that when you look that no matter what you wanted to do creatively with the Wyatt Six, whether they remain this kind of nostalgic tribute band face, you know, okay, they can go get some heels, and here's some heels that have a female, so that can, that's somebody for Nikki Cross to neutralize and work with. Or if they turn heel, we have baby faces, and the, you know, and the same thing over on SmackDown, it's equal there. So I just say that I think two females in this particular group, I don't know if it necessarily would work out, but then again, maybe this group's not going to do a lot of matches. Maybe this is going to be just a lot more vignettes, a lot more just attacks. I'm not sure, but we'll see. But that's my logic, at least when I do booking math.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see her back. I'm a big fan of Alexa Bliss, but I agree. I don't think she should be put in the group just because there's a history there. Much like Braun Strowman, I don't think she'd be in the group just because.
Good call. Yeah, good call.
So let us know what you guys think about all that. But we got a good show to talk about. And as always, this is when I like to say thank you for tuning in. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. In fact, we got a good review, Triple J. We got a good review a couple weeks ago, but we haven't been together, so I haven't read it on air. It was from, posted August 7th, meaning that it was probably said earlier, but Stunning Steve said Triple J, 5 stars. Always enjoy Triple J reviews on Monday night after Raw. So thank you and keep up the amazing content. Cheers.
Cheers. Leave some more 5 stars, everybody. Leave them. I mean, forget the 5 stars in the Tokyo Dome. Give us some 5 stars on the Apple Podcast, the Spotify. Do it all.
Yeah, that is the 5 stars that the wrestling world really cares about, the ones on wrestling reviews. Yes. And leave a little comment. I'll read them on air. Or you can join us in the chat like Jose or Steven or Daniel or Leonard or Huffman or JT or Joe C or Jeff Bailey. There's too many to get to everyone. Denisha, No Bueno Crew. Haven't seen you in a while, No Bueno Crew. Good to see you again. Max Feldman as well. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about WWE Raw. And we're going to start with the main event. Uncle Howdy versus Chad Gable. It's Uncle Howdy's debut match in the ring. Or since his return. I can't remember. He didn't have a match before.
Okay, never as Uncle Howdy.
Never as Uncle Howdy, yeah. He showed up in the Mountain Dew match. But I don't think he didn't wrestle. That's right. In any case, we got the scary video from Howdy earlier in the night, kind of saying how Howdy's going to purge tonight. And Gable said he's too smart for all that. Match happens. Howdy dances with Gable. They go outside. Eventually, Ivy Nile comes in for the distraction. Creed Brothers, Wyatt Six show up. They all brawl. Howdy eventually gets the advantage. Howdy eventually gets the win. Justin Labar, I feel like this is going to be one of the most talked about segments of the evening. Well, there's another one that's going to be pre-talked about too, but we'll get to that. How do you feel Uncle Howdy did in the ring? This is the kind of the final piece of the Wyatt Six coming into pro wrestling.
Well, I like that they were kind of straightforward, right? I mean, they acknowledge he's mortal. He's got to be mortal. He's human. I thought Corey Graves and Michael Cole did a good job on commentary, trying to just walk the fine line, which is Corey Graves, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said essentially, he's like, I've been in the ring with Bo Dallas. He goes, yes, that is physically the body of Bo Dallas. He goes, but that's not Bo Dallas behind. Like, that's, I don't know what's behind those eyes. I don't know what's torment. Like, you know, so a good job of, like, not playing stupid, not acting like we don't know who that is. And they've obviously, we've witnessed Bo Dallas in some of these promos. So, like, acknowledging the duality of the situation, but still trying to keep some mystique around the Uncle Howdy persona, much like how, like, we knew the Fiend was Bray Wyatt, but, like, let's just, so I like that. I like the fact that, look, yeah, Chad Gable got some offense in. Uncle Howdy sold, but he did also still have some sequences of wow, he's really gonna, like, he's really a little indestructible here. So I mean, I think they tried to walk the balance as best they could. You know, lights are up, we're not putting any spooky lighting or black lighting or whatever. I thought, and look, and also one of the best measurements too is the crowd, and the crowd was chanting for Uncle Howdy. Like, they, the crowd has stayed with it, whether that's because WWE truly is doing their best creative foot forward and presentation with this, or if everybody in the crowd, myself, I guess, would be included to this at home, whether it's a little bit like, I know what this act and these characters represent and what they're paying homage to, so I'm going to give it more leeway of, you know what I mean? I think there's probably an element to it, if we all be honest. I think it is a little bit like, nobody wants to be the person that's heckling and booing and chanting boring at something that is paying respect. I think all that comes into play. It was kind of cool that they did this this week, because I believe Saturday was a year to the day of the tragic passing of Lyndon Rotunda. So interesting, just timing that way. Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. My question is at this point, okay, what's next?
Yeah,
like, I mean, like, once we wrap things up with American May, which, I mean, how much more is there to do? We've seen a couple of guys fight in six man. Now we saw Uncle Howdy against Gable. You just beat Gable. He's the head of the snake, at least in the American May world. So, like, what's next? Like, and all I can come up with, and I don't know how thrilling this is right now, but if they're going to remain cheered, the only other heels I can see them going up against is, look out, Paul Ellering. Look out, Final Testament. Here comes Uncle Howdy and crew, and Final Testament ain't exactly, stock ain't high right now on them, so I don't know. I'm not sure what's next.
Yeah, but you're right. That does seem to make the most sense. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on the match, and also a few comments from the chat. Chad W. says, do you think Uncle Howdy took too much damage? And Goodfella says, love the main event. Really enjoyed Corey in the second chair humanizing Howdy. Just the look of the hair was too long for my taste. Thoughts on the match and thoughts on those comments.
Interesting, because I thought it was, what I found interesting was that he wrestled with the mask on while the other members took it off when they wrestled in their matches. So I thought that was a little bit of a different take. I didn't think he sold too much, because like you said, Justin, it humanizes him. It doesn't make him invincible. It doesn't make him feel like a Marvel character or anything like that. He is human. He is a conflicted human being. As Corey did a great job of explaining it. Like you said, he said, I know this. I know Bo Dallas, and this isn't the Bo Dallas I know, or something along those lines.
It's not the Bo Dallas he wrestled.
He wrestled, yes. Yeah. So, you know, they did a great job of painting that picture. That was great. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the fact that, because as a babyface, how do you get the fans to get behind a babyface? You have to have sympathy on the babyface. The heel has to get heat on the babyface, and I think they accomplished that very well tonight, because it was going to be a tricky situation, especially since the day they first debuted and laid everybody out in the gorilla position and everybody else backstage. So it was good. I always thought, okay, how are they going to handle this? How are they going to wrestle in a wrestling match? How are they going to do that? And I think they handled it as best they could tonight, I thought.
Yeah. Baby Ice in the chat saying, can't you see the Howdy gang going after Judgment Day for JD turning on family members, Rhea and Damian? I mean, that definitely seems possible. I think the issues between Damian and Rhea and Judgment Day are going to be for a little bit longer, and I don't think there's room for Wyatt Six in there just yet. So that's where, to Justin's point, I think something like a Final Testament is could be the next thing, because it's too soon for Judgment Day, because Judgment Day is busy right now. Final question here. Danny Cochran, I'll send this over to you, Justin. Are the days of the spooky, dark magic wrestlers done?
No. I think it's all on just presentation. Again, this is... Look, I mean, we'll never know if the original attempt or whatever they had in mind for Uncle Howdy when Bray Wyatt, the character, was introducing Uncle Howdy, we'll never know if Uncle Howdy was going to work in that iteration. We just never will, because obviously things got put on hold with Bray's absence from TV, which now we know was his health, and then, of course, his tragic passing. So, again, this is they have to, again, walk a fine line, because there's been so much real. We've had a real person pass away. We've seen Bo Dallas in a documentary crying over the loss of his brother. So you can't go but so spooky, because there's just a level of reality that can't be forgotten. But that's not to say that if they come across the right character and the right backstory and situation, and certainly WWE's production and all their props and magic, they know how to do it as good as Hollywood. You know, I don't know if we'll ever see somebody as captivating as The Undertaker or as Kane, but I don't think that the days of spooky wrestlers are over with. I think it's just a matter of the presentation, and it comes down to things, not only how do you present it on TV, how do you present it in the arena to the live audience, but keep whoever it is that's portraying said character, keep them protected by not being on social media. Keep them protected by not everybody knowing, oh, they used to wrestle as this a year ago, and oh, a year before that, they were on TMZ for DUI. Like, it has to be the right situation in today's landscape of, if you want a spooky wrestler kind of thing to work, presentation's got to be there, but also all the little fun facts that everybody likes to dig into, that's got to be kept secret well enough by 2024 standards, or whatever year we're talking about.
Yeah, I agree, because I think with creativity, anything's possible. It's just got to be done right. And nothing. And plus, what's old is new again. Someday, even if it's passe today, it's going to be cool in the future. You know, so they could always come back. Drew McIntyre came back, and he had a promo he cut where he imitated CM Punk, and eventually Punk comes out and finally gets to whip Drew McIntyre. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this segment here. And the crowd actually kind of popped for Drew when he was imitating CM Punk, when he said, it's what a great day it is to be alive in Rhode Island. Everyone popped for him, even though he was actually making fun of CM Punk.
Cheap pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thoughts on this one?
No, I thought it was interesting that he went that route and got the cheers. But then again, I think about it, and that's how everybody gets a cheer. You say the name of the town you're in. And, of course, that generates an automatic reaction. But what I liked about this segment, though, was it wasn't bantering back and forth like we've seen how many times, where they're going jab, back, forth, back and forth. Punk got in the ring, and he started he whipped him with a leather belt.
Yep.
Like he went right to town. There was we've always complained in the past where somebody says something or somebody does something, and the guy contemplates whether he's going to pop somebody or anything like that. He entered the ring and just went to town.
Yep.
Bottom line. And I don't know if that worked for a lot of people, but it got the crowd riled up. Made me think, okay, I want to see Drew's social media right now and see how many whip marks he has on his back that he's going to post out there and tell everybody the Punk's going to pay for this on Saturday.
Yeah, that's kind of a bad side of it, right? Because Drew McIntyre has to post something about it. And I can imagine, Punk's going to have to whip you good so it looks good on social media.
So talk about posting on social. Don't go do this right now, because you're watching and listening to us right now. But when you're done, go to Punk's Instagram. Punk.
Oh, yes.
Went live on Instagram while he was under the ring waiting to come out to attack Drew. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah.
He did that. To Jimmy's point, I like the fact that Punk did not speak tonight. There's nothing else to be said. This feud has been going on for, if you want to date back to Survivor Series, 9 months, but even Rumble when Punk got hurt by Drew, 8 months now. There's not much else to be said. So it's just ass kicking time at this point. And so I like that. And I like this. I like this strap match. First off, you don't get a strap match too often anymore. That's not a gimmick. They go to the well too often. I like the psychology of these two guys who have been cat and mousing with each other are now tethered by a 10-foot strap or whatever it is. So I like that tethered intimacy to them. I like the fact that both men are armed with an equal weapon, which is a leather strap. And then, oh, by the way, to win, you got to beat your opponent so bad, but you got to drag their lifeless body to tap the four corners. Very traditional. So I think all that's really, really well done. Also, again, and this is just calling it like I see it, you know, it was unfortunate that Punk gets hurt on what seemed like a very innocent, just double arm DDT in the Rumble. And that derailed creative for the time being. This match is going to be physical. I'm not saying it's not going to hurt, but the limitations that you could put on what they have to do and just stay within the strap and the psychology of getting the corners maybe could decrease high risk maneuvers and impact to just reduce injury for anybody. So I know, there's a lot of things to it. And by the way, I was wondering, fun fact, I was wondering, when was the last time I saw CM Punk in a strap match in WWE? And I really just didn't know. I was like, had he been in one in WWE? He surely had to be one in WWE. He's been around wrestling. Sure enough, his last strap match in WWE was Extreme Rules in the summer of 2009 against Umaga. That was Umaga's last WWE match. Umaga would get released the next day and then tragically pass away later that year. So first time in 15 years we're seeing Punk in a strap match in WWE.
Whoa, that is a very little interesting tidbit there. But yeah, I'm excited. I agree with you guys. Usually I'm very like, don't hit each other before. I want it to be all, you know, save it for the big shows. But this one, I mean, they've had a match already. It's heated. And Jimmy, like you said, CM Punk hates this guy. He's mad at him. He wants to get his hands on him. So this is exactly what makes sense. I loved it. I thought this was well done all around. Mm-hmm. Hey, go ahead.
No, really quickly, the thing I like about the rules to this one is, like you said, Justin, you have to drag your opponent, your limp opponent. I was going to say lifeless. I don't know if that's a proper terminology, but anyway,
they have to be limp. Like, what if you just, what if they're walking? What if they're, what if
no, you got to, you got to basically drag your opponent because the strap isn't far long enough for them to reach all the posts because
it's 20 feet apart.
With a 10-foot limp.
Strap's 10 feet. I mean, so as long as the biscuit's limp, as long as you can get to corner.
Yeah,
to corner,
I guess what I mean is, like, if I was attached to Drew McIntyre, I could be fully conscious and he's not going to stop me from, I mean, I'm not gonna be able to stop him. I won't be limp, but I'm just going to get drug across the ring against my will. I mean, you have to be limp. You can
thankfully you're not in the match there, Jack. At least with CM Punk, we could draw out the drama. You can draw out the drama. And we talk about great false finishes with get the crowd biting. These are elongated false finishes where they're reaching for that fourth corner and they're reaching and the crowd is like biting. Is he going to make it? Is he going to make it? And then something happens.
Now I know the next time things get so heated between Jack Farmer and I, I'm not challenging him to a hair versus hair match. I'm challenging him to a strap match because his confidence is already debilitated.
It would just be me kicking my legs around, going, "Stop it!" As you just drag me, I'd be like a child. Help!
The quickest strap match in history.
Hey, Jimmy. Is there? I assume you've reffed a strap match. Is there anything? As a referee, there's no DQ, there's no count out, there's no pinfalls, no submission. So it's just like a cage match of escape. Like what? As a referee, like what can you do? Like what can you do to help the match, or you just stay out of the way for this?
Basically, you just stay out of the way and communicate back and forth, whatever signals are being sent to you from Gorilla or whoever, and between the talent, tell them to do this, tell them to do that. Okay. Yeah. So in the process of checking on them, like you're, you know, doing your job, you kind of telling him, well, he said do this. And make sure when you're getting to the corner, let the strap fall between your legs so that when he stops you from getting to that fourth corner, you give that big yank and it, there go the yam bags.
Right. Yeah, I would never be in a strap match. It sounds terrible. It sounds like a win-win.
They're not fun. They're not fun.
Yeah, I guess as I'm being dragged around, if I kept screaming and crying, they'd go to whip me and I'd say, you know what? Never mind. Just touch the corner. I'm done. I'm out. I don't want any of this.
Jack would put his arm around him and guide him to the corner.
Jack Farmer, ladies and gentlemen, he does not like any rough S&M or anything. No. Chains and whips do not excite him.
If you've heard my pitches for Manscaped, you know I don't like any type of roughness in that area. Speaking of roughness, we had a rough one. We had quite a rough one. My favorite part of the night, actually, Bronson Reed versus Braun Strowman, fellas. This is a massive brawl in the ring. They take it to the back. They use everybody and everything. They tear the building apart. And, man, Rock may crush scissors, but let me tell you, Bronson Reed crushes Braun Strowman. This was just a calamity of humanity. Justin, I want your thoughts on this one.
Yeah, you know, you could feel this as they built to this match. And they're doing the tail of the tape thing, and Braun's the monster of all monsters to come and stop this incredible run that Bronson's been on. You could feel they were going to do something big tonight. When they announced way earlier in the night that Uncle Howdy was going to be the main event match with Gable, I then, trying to be as smart as I can be with my small brain, I was like, all right, well, that means if that's last, that means Braun versus Bronson can't be last, which means we're not going to be bringing back the whole let's break the ring spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if it's not last, you ain't doing that. So I'm sitting there going, all right, so what are they going to do then? I mean, we've already seen him give like 6 or 7 tsunamis in a row. So that means that you got to top that. And I mean, I'm watching this and it was like, I'm pretty sure 20 years ago on PlayStation 2, I selected like a parking lot brawl. And this is kind of what it looked like on the game. But this ain't no damn video game. This is flesh on flesh on car.
Yes.
I mean, it looked brutal. I mean, it looked, and then a nice little touch too. I mean, they didn't show it. And maybe that's part of the whole, that's like, it's like the Jaws effect. It was the use your own imagination. We see the tsunami. We see all the chaos of Adam Pearce and medics and refs, and Braun's still laying there. Bronson's kind of up. He's selling it, but he's kind of already upward a little bit. And they go to break, and we come back in the commentary saying, "You're never gonna believe this. He got up and walked off the scene, mm-hmm. refusing." It's like, so now in your mind, you're creating the most crazy scene of what it could have looked like. They are. Again, this kind of goes back to the Jey Uso conversation. Bronson Reed doesn't have a title. Bronson Reed is not beating the top babyface in the main event right now. But they're doing enough to make people say, I'm going to buy a ticket to see him tsunami somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're at home, I'm going to tune in to see what the hell is he going to do against Braun Strowman. Like, he's got enough credibility that he's up there. So, again, now you can build. Find some baby faces that you can build up as your next heroes. And now Bronson Reed's got somebody else to work with. It makes sense. I think if you step back, cool your emotions, don't look at Twitter, it mm-hmm. makes sense.
Don't look at Twitter in general is a good piece of advice.
Yeah.
But Jimmy, this, I everything about this I love. First off, tip of the cap to Braun Strowman, because he just helped make Bronson Reed an even bigger star here. And I think that sometimes mm-hmm. we only gush about the people who won the match, but like, if not for what Braun Strowman was doing, this would have just been another, you know, Bronson Reed crushes somebody. But the fact that this was one of the few times we saw a bigger guy try to be the bigger guy to Bronson Reed. And he did, but Bronson Reed still showed. I think that tells us something. He's more than just a big guy. He's very durable. Bronson Reed just came off great. And man, I'm with Justin. When they went backstage, the moment they were backstage and Bronson Reed was holding the trash can waiting for Strowman to come through the curtain, I was like, this is so good. And when he crawled up on that wall and Braun Strowman was on the car, in my mind, sadistic Jack's like, do it. I was so excited. I was like, everyone in the arena that stands up when he goes to do the tsunami, absolutely a must see pay for a ticket move. Jimmy, what are your thoughts?
No, I enjoyed it very much from the in ring action. Like, they surprised me. These were two of the biggest luchadors I ever saw in my life. Some of the moves they were pulling off were incredible for two big guys, and they pulled them off really well. And then the fight going to the back, what I was curious about, I was curious to see how they get out of this, because you don't want Braun Strowman to lose just yet. And Bronson Reed, the heat is on him. The last couple of weeks, he's just got some monster heat on him. The only thing I'm afraid of is now with that splash on the top of the car, I'm worried that people are going to start to like him and want to see that, see him do it to whoever it is. It doesn't matter, babyface, heel, whoever it is. That's my only concern, that people are going to start saying, you know what, this is cool. I want to see this. I don't care who it is. It is cool. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. That's the problem.
No, that's a great call. I think, they teased, obviously, that he still has unfinished business with Miz. You know, and Miz is getting by as a face right now, even though he's much better as a heel. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great point, Jimmy. You know, you don't want to – it's way too early right now for Bronson Reed to be a cool heel. I still think, you know, especially if you look over on SmackDown, it is thin with credible heels. Like, I keep wondering, like, and it's kind of shows – we're doing, and then they made it better a little bit this past week. But, you know, Cody Rhodes is fighting Kevin Owens, a babyface versus babyface, and they're just trying to toy with you, like, oh, is Kevin going to go back to that heel? Like, but there's just a real lack of heels. If Cody's not going to work with the Bloodline, and obviously they want to hold that off probably until we get back around to Mania season for obvious reasons. So it's like, if you have to buy time, Cody work with somebody that's not Bloodline, he doesn't have a lot of heels to work with. And so, I still think that, like, Bronson Reed's on the trajectory of, they're making him right now as a big deal. There would certainly be a storyline justification for Adam Pearce to say, I can't handle this guy anymore. Nick Aldis, you take him, especially because you had an open spot because we got Orton over here. Like, and let Bronson work a program with Cody. Yes, Cody's going to beat him. Cody's not going to drop the title to him, but I think that there's a way to do it that would continue to elevate Bronson and make it worthwhile. Like, I don't know what else Bronson could do on Raw without just being repetitive and risking what Jimmy's saying. You start to cheer him because it's just so badass. Find him a babyface who people love. That's Cody Rhodes. Put him over there and at least let's try to get through some fall months for Cody have an opponent.
And yet you have him go over to SmackDown and have him do to Cody what he did to Seth Rollins. I mean, not take him out of action, but, you know, attack him and hit him with a bunch of tsunamis and leave Cody as a mess. That sells a ticket
take him out for a week or two, or something. But yeah, so after Bash in Berlin, the next, I think it's bad blood. It's bad blood, yeah. Which obviously Cody's going to be a part of because he's been part of all the vignettes of them in Atlanta, and Atlanta's his build hometown. So, you know, Cody's got to be part of that. So, I want them to keep going with this, but I keep saying, I'm like, I don't know what else there is. I still think Cody needs people to work with on SmackDown. So I think Bronson would be the perfect kind of choice to make a move over there.
You talk about the Miz. It actually leads me to the two tournament matches we had today. They're triple threat matches. The Miz has a backstage interview with Jackie where he talks about every time he does something right, something goes wrong. That's when Bronson Reed comes out. New Day, they're learning to communicate. But we got the two triple threat matches, Jey Uso, Karrion Kross, Kofi Kingston. It's a fun one with Jey Uso getting the win. And then Miz versus Xavier Woods versus Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne gets the win there. Later, Breaker says no one from Jey's family has beaten someone from his family, which is a great line. And then he also kind of puts down Pete Dunne. Justin, I want to kind of backtrack to kind of what you were just saying just now. They're building up these contenders with where Braun Breaker is. I don't know if I believe anyone's going to beat him anytime soon. And I'm wondering, similar to what you're saying with Bronson Reed, is WWE sort of building a bottleneck for themselves? We're loving what we're doing, but are we also kind of getting to a point where, like, what do you do? Braun Breaker can't lose the title already, but neither can Gunther. But, you know, like, what do you do?
Well, it's a great problem to have. And I'm glad the Triple H has to solve it and we don't. Right. They are building up. But I think what becomes important then is, obviously, you always want titles to matter. But that's when you then have to, that's the next task you put on your creative team is, okay, how can we create interesting stories that don't revolve around the title? Punk and Drew is a great example. Punk and Drew is a great, you know, that's a great example. The mixed tag match at Bash in Berlin. That mm-hmm. for me at least, that has the most anticipation of we want to see Priest get his hands on Dom, which he's done a little bit, but we want to see and that there's no title. And so I think, again, you build a bottleneck up, but you build it up as, okay, we have a lot of credible characters that people care about. Okay, there's only one IC title, there's only one US title, there's only world title on the show, whatever. There's only so many singles belts on the men's side and the women's side too. How can we create other stories that matter even if it doesn't have the title? And I think that's what we're doing right now. I mean, you know, that's where we're at. The thing I'm watching with Bron Breakker is, because I agree, I don't think he's dropping this title anytime soon, nor should he, is where, you know, I always say this fence. What side of the fence is he on? Like, he acts like a heel, but everybody's barking like crazy, mm-hmm. and he's getting a little more, like, you know, he's letting Jackie Redmond or whoever finish their question to him. He's not heel cutting them off as much, so, like, mm-hmm. he's getting a little more polite in terms of letting them get the question out. He's getting a little more cute in his answers. So he's slightly towing himself to the good guy side, but he's still coming off as this badass who you don't trust. I despise the term tweener, so I'm not going to settle on that. So I think that's part of the thing. It's like, all right, what do we have with Bron Breakker? Who do we want? Do we want him to be our next babyface who let's have him be this badass Goldberg babyface? And oh, by the way, maybe he still has the IC title and he's going after Gunther. Like, do we want that? Or again, do we want him to be the baddest heel who you just can't bring yourself to like? And whenever his IC title runs done, he's another guy coming after Cody Rhodes. Like, you know, I think, you know, what is it we want out of him? What do we need long term, 6 months, 12 months out of this? So that's what I'm watching is what Bron Breakker is obviously working. He's mm-hmm. a success thus far. But what lane do we want him to take?
I personally like him as someone I cheer for. I like him in that Goldberg role. I would love to see the Judgment Day try to take him down and him just scatter them like balls on a pool table. You know what I mean? Just bash through them. I think that'd be so fun to see. But Jimmy, what are your thoughts on this tournament, the people who've gone through? I did think it was interesting that Xavier Woods was wearing all black when he was supposed to wear mm-hmm. green, maybe a little too obvious, but it mm-hmm. seemed like a play there. Any thoughts on this one?
I like the choice of Pete Dunne. I like him winning the one triple threat match. Like you said, Xavier Woods wearing the all black, signs everywhere, signs. What can I tell you? That, you know, I think it's pointing in a direction. The other one, Jey Uso winning, again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier. I guess he's going to be in that fatal four-way. And then, again, you have a guy who's hugely over and you can get away with not having him lose the match but not win it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, another situation like that. That's what this seems like for me anyways. But, you know, as far as Bron Breakker goes, who's going on to face him? That's going to be an interesting choice because next week Bronson Reed is in a three-way match. And the other three-way match with Ilya Dragunov, Dragon Lee, two dragons there, and
Dom,
yeah. That one I think is going to steal the show next
that,
week.
That has match of the week candidate.
Yeah. Because I know we haven't got to it yet, but hats off to Dragon Lee before I forget tonight. My goodness, what a performance! Yeah. But anyways, I think you're right though with Bron Breakker. It's too many Brons. I can't remember which one I'm talking about. But
Vince would be losing his mind right
now. Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't go near Gorilla if there were this many Brons going on. But the interesting thing is, too, the stuff he does in the ring is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're a heel, you don't want to be too cool in the ring either. He does that leap up to the top rope Frankensteiner that he does.
Mm-hmm.
That is incredible. You can't boo that. How do you boo something like that?
Right.
It's impossible. You know what I mean? So maybe he could tease stuff like that and not do it. If that makes any sense, going back to like a Bronson Reed, maybe he could hit the one tsunami and tease and he's going up for a second one and people are cheering for it. Yeah, we want to see the second one. And he looks at everybody and goes, to hell with you guys, and gets down. You know,
yeah.
Just try to change your minds. Maybe with Bron Breakker and do something that'll change their minds instead of them getting on board with what he's doing. I don't know. It's going to be tough, though. It's going to be tough.
Well, you mentioned that Dragon Lee performance. The Judgment Day came out, and they blamed everything that was going that happened on Rhea and Damian. Liv and Dom talk about how great they are as a couple. LWO comes out. We get some trash talk before a punch is thrown. This leads into an 8-man tag. It all breaks down with the post-match scene, Rhea and Damian chasing off Judgment Day. Jimmy, you mentioned Dragon Lee. Talk to us about it.
No, I thought, Sean, you know, everybody gets their opportunity to shine in these sort of things. When you have 4-4, everybody gets a shot in the ring and to get their stuff in. But Dragon Lee just was, when you think back on matches and moments as people who stand out, he stood out big time tonight. And we remembered what he was before he joined the LWO and kind of got, I hate to say it, lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. And was just another member of the crew. Tonight he got to show how special he is. Yeah. And I'd like to see more of that. And I don't want to see him per se break away from LWO, but allow him to have opportunities to be alone. Like he's going to be in the three-way match next week.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Justin, I think this is going to be a definite match of the week candidate.
So. Yeah. It's already on my radar for Busted Open. We do match of the week. That's going to be a candidate. I can already tell. I share the same sentiment that Jimmy has, both with Dragon Lee, but also the same with Joaquin Wilde. And he got his spot tonight. He's done it on NXT before where they, you know, they he's on the middle rope and they kind of just propel him and he just, you know, he's a guy. He trained here in Pittsburgh. I've known him for a lot of years, so it's not just a personal thing, but he's had raw talent for many, many years. He's been an Impact. He's been everywhere. I'm so happy to see him with this opportunity. That's what made tonight's Raw kind of interesting on one aspect was, you know, half of their total roster is already over in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're already over in Europe doing house shows. They got SmackDown Friday and then, of course, the PLE Saturday. So it's nights like tonight where, you know, in addition to, okay, we can have Uncle Howdy have his debut and that's an attraction, whatever. But here's a night where it's like, okay, we got four guys who can go in the LWO. 3-segment match. Let's go. And they did it. Yep. And you know, that spot that I'm referencing of Wilde propelling off the middle rope to the outside. Yeah. Great job by WWE production. Great coordination and communication to go to that overhead shot they started using when all four LWO members two hit one side. Mm-hmm. They're all four hitting ropes to dive out. It looked awesome. And that's kind of, you know, it used to be when you'd be down on your roster because half of them are on a tour somewhere else. Again, you're stretching, but you're stretching in the bad way. But tonight I felt like you got some opportunities from some people that you may have not otherwise gotten for the time that you did. So yeah, I thought this was a really hot way to start the show.
And the big thing is, Justin, sorry to cut you off there, Jack, is when you're given those opportunities, you have to deliver and show mm-hmm. them that they made the right call and to take chances on you in the future. And I think that's what they all did tonight. And that was, you know, hats off to them.
Yeah. In fact, it's funny. I didn't even realize that half the roster was gone. I knew Gunther was gone because we saw that little video, but mm-hmm. it didn't actually click to me because that's how this episode went, was it didn't feel like they were stretching in that way, which just shows how deep this roster is.
Yeah. They were in, I think, Brussels last night for a house show.
Real quick though, didn't Gunther look like just your prototypical old school world heavyweight champion and standing in front of that brick wall and with that gold belt in front of him? That look, he just exudes somebody like a Luthez, but more of a heel.
Yeah.
Luthez wasn't a heel.
Well, Jimmy, I want to ask you a question here because you've been on the road, you've been at the arenas, you've worked for WWE for a very long time. And so I want your insider opinion. Why does Rey Mysterio's mask say mask on it?
That's a good question. I wish I had a good answer.
Does he not know it's a mask? Does he need
I guess
pants written on your pants. Like, no, that's just a mask.
That's there for people when he's going through customs, traveling overseas, so they know, listen, this is a mask. It's not anything else. I'm wearing it because I'm a luchador. I'm a wrestler. Nothing else. No nefarious means here.
Look, it must work because he's making a bunch of money on merchandise. So keep on doing it, buddy. A few quick things happened before we get into our predictions. Pure Fusion Collective, they faced Damage Control, and Zelina Vega got involved, costing PFC, if that's what we're calling them. Randy Orton cuts a nice little promo, and Isla Dawn and Alba Fire also talk some trash. Justin, any major takeaways from these?
Orton did a great, again, when you don't have your opponent there to confront you or play off of, I thought Orton did a great one-man show, final sell.
Yep. Yeah, Jimmy, I think Orton is, everyone knows he's a great promo. Sometimes I think we take it for granted from Orton, though. Any thoughts on these three segments?
No, I agree with the Randy Orton promo. I thought the women worked really hard. Unfortunately, they just didn't sound like the crowd was into it. You know, then that's I feel bad for the ladies because they did work hard in this match and something is not clicking there. I wish I could put my finger on it, but you know,
I think from just an X's and O's situation, it's two groups, Damage Control and Pure Fusion Collective. And even when you factor in Zelina Vega, it's a bunch of people who are all kind of 50-50 with their wins and losses. No one's really hot right now, no one's really cold right now. Even as they've been having this rivalry, it's always kind of hit and miss. And so I don't feel like there's a lot of interest because neither team is doing that great.
I think we're at a very interesting time right now in WWE with women's wrestling. And what I mean by that is to say that the top of the women's card hits, right? Mm-hmm. Our world champions hit. And then we have like Rhea Ripley, who just is out of this world hitting, and she's hitting it again with no title involved, as we mentioned earlier, just with the mixed tag thing. There's an expectation and enough talent there that, okay, we are no longer just doing one women's match on a night. Like, we have enough to do more, but I don't know if it's a bottleneck, the term you used earlier, Jack, but it's almost like we feel like it's of 2024 expectation that the audience wants more, that we need to give some more mid-card women's feuds like we have here with what we're talking about here with, you know, with Pure Fusion Collective, Damage Control, and but there's not enough time, there hasn't been enough time or situations to get everybody, like, get the fans fully invested. So it's like, all right, we're rolling out X amount of women because we want to have X amount of women showcased, and all these women are talented, so they belong. But it's almost like you just need to have a one-hour women's show. And even if that show is not the most watched, you can at least always then show clips of, okay, here's how they advance the story. Here's why we're doing this on Raw or in SmackDown. Like, I feel like that's kind of where we're at. Like, a rubber is meeting the road of, if we're going to go this all in, no pun intended, if we're going this all in with women's wrestling WWE, we got to give them some space of their own to flush out some of these backstories.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. There definitely needs to be a story in there. Beer Money makes a good point here. Too many women in factions, so it's hard for them to break away with single stories. And that's a good point. And again, I still don't really know what any of this, I don't know what Damage Control or Pure Fusion Collective is. So I can't really get behind who they are from that level either, but
whoever came up with Pure Fusion Collective, it's 30 jumping jacks at the end of the meeting for you.
Yeah,
come on now.
Yeah, the thing about that too is I'm not a fan of the name, and it kind of blows me away that had to clear a number of people before it. You know, it wasn't just like one person's idea before they went out.
You're gonna sell a T-shirt with that on it?
Oh my god. I mean, whoever came up with that idea has to go to creative court.
Yes. This is me, nerdy me, but I always think fusion is you're combining things. Collective is you're combining things. So you're like, we're the pure combination.
It literally comes off as like index cards on a wall, three darts.
I got the vibe of a random name generator where it just randomly selects three words, or one of those, like, the name of your team is if you were born in this month and this day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Jack, you've seen these, certainly, the things that go around social. Your porn star name is going to be The street you grew up on,
yes.
The month that you were born, and your least favorite vegetable. That's your porn star.
Yeah, that's exactly what this sounds like. It's like,
oh, okay, my goodness.
It's a bad example, but that's a general kind of thing of how those work.
Because mine would be Jones March, and I don't know what the vegetable is.
The vegetable is a bad example. It's usually street. It's usually like street you grew up on, like first pet name or
vegetable
something.
Vegetable could actually be pretty good if it's a porn name, but I don't know if we're going to get canceled.
Douglas Eggplant. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Actually, vegetables work pretty well for this.
Laurel Corn on the Cob.
Oh, that one just writes itself. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Wrestling Inc.'s going to toss me off in a second.
Right. Yeah. Let's move on to the predictions before we get canceled.
Corn on the Cob, that makes sense.
So, Bash in Berlin predictions. Everyone in the chat, join along for us here. Of course, as you guys know, we famously get them right every single time. We got 5 matches as of now. Justin, you get first pick. WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match. The unholy union of Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn versus 2 of the big 3, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill.
Well, Bianca and Jade already had the tag team titles before, correct?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to say it's going to stay on the unholy union. I don't know. I would have to assume that maybe it stays on the unholy union, and, you know, to keep Alba and Isla moving, trending upwards. Maybe this is the very, very, very start of planting the smallest seeds of Bianca and Jade splits.
You know, surprisingly, Justin, I agree with you completely. I think that we've already seen Bianca and Jade as champion. I don't really know if there's much more for them to do as champions. I felt like they had kind of run their course as champions. It's just the dominant beat everyone team already. I think it's healthier for the division to have a team like the Unholy Union as champions and Bianca and Jade to start making their way towards the singles realm. Jimmy, why do you disagree with us?
Are you the Amazing Kreskin? Are you reading my mind again?
That's a
Canadian reference.
I need the is that where he puts the envelope? No, that's Carson. Where he puts the envelope above his head. Guesses it.
No, the Amazing Kreskin. He was a guy up here in Canada. Had a show. Read people's minds. But anyways, I'm going to make it a clean sweep here because I don't. You know, I talked earlier about people needing a championship. I think Alba Fyre and Fyre and Dawn actually. It would be not beneficial for them to drop the titles right now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. We have more tag team action, mixed tag team match. The Terror Twins, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley versus the Judgment Day, Dirty Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. I take the first jump at this one, and I'm going with the Terror Twins, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley. Because I think they're going to bring this win into convincing Dom and Liv into singles matches down the road. That's my prediction there, Jimmy. What do you think?
That's a pretty good call, convincing them into singles matches down the road. I still think that somehow, some form or fashion, Liv and Dom squeak this one out because nobody expects them to win. But somehow, by some nefarious means, I think they squeak it out.
Yeah, I'm going to go Judgment Day of Dirty Dom and Liv here because, one, you have other members of the Judgment Day still lurking around, so the numbers game can always play in. You know, we there's still payoff to be had with some of the other members and Priest and Rhea. Also, because I think if Dom and Liv can get one over on Priest and Rhea, this is not over. Mm-hmm. And is there ever a more fitting, maybe aside from, you know, aside from maybe Bloodline stuff and maybe aside from, you know, Punk and Drew, this also fits right into the criteria of bad blood. And I just don't see this ending here. But for this to not end, I think the heel's got to go over. So I'm going to go Dom and Liv.
What if this one ends with Dom choosing Rhea Ripley and he leaves Liv and him and Rhea Ripley get together and then every couple of months he just switches between them. I think that'd be good stuff.
He's not going back to Rhea. He's not going back to Rhea, but I'll say this, Jack. I have thought let Dirty Dom do Live Dirty eventually. And he picks another female to saddle his horse to.
I would love that. And that's his whole that he could cause he could do that forever. That could be a career gimmick where it's every few months or a year or a certain amount of time. And it's
what if one of them wasn't, you know, right now there's a sexual tension of, you know, he's dating them.
Yeah.
But what if one of them, it's like, all right, he goes, you know what? I'm tired of messing with you silly girls for silly things. I'm going to find a woman that's going to help me get to the ultimate, become world champion, become Hall of Famer, be better than my deadbeat dad. Bring in Vicky Guerrero as his advisor.
Oh, wow.
And then that works for a million reasons. I love that. And then
he can also eventually
leave Vicky for another girl. I don't know.
Could you imagine the heat of Vicky? Wow. And Dom both trying to cut promos.
That would be fun. And then, she'd keep trying. It'd be great because they'd boo him, and she could just keep saying, excuse me. It'd be great. Great stuff.
I had a different idea, but I'm not even going to say it because I can't top that.
Well, you've got a tough task ahead of you, Jimmy Corderas, because you've got to pick the winner of the strap match, CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre.
That's not a tough task for me anyways. I think CM Punk goes over here. They even their rivalry 1-1, somehow Drew continues to keep a hold of the bracelet. I know people are saying it's just a bracelet. Yes, but it's meaningful to Punk. You know, everybody has something that means more than money to them. And we could talk about that all day, but I'm not going to. But I think this leads to, you talked about bad blood. This leads to the conclusion of this rivalry at Bad Blood, whatever kind of match they make it. I don't know whether you end it in a cage, you end it some other stipulation match, but I think at Bad Blood, whoever wins that match finally will come out ahead, and this rivalry will end there.
Justin, do you agree?
Yeah, I'm going to say Punk as well. I think Punk as well, and I think, really the only other step after this, yeah, they've obviously not shied away from talking about Punk's real life wife, who of course is a worker herself. I think you gotta. I'm not saying she's gotta be part of like a match or anything, but I think Punk wins. There's one more round to go here, and I think wives and dogs and family are ringside and present for all the emotion.
I think Punk wins as well. It just makes sense, and we get another one out of this one. Undisputed WWE Championship match, Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens. Justin, you get the first go at this one.
Yeah, Cody. I mean, there's no debate of him losing this. It's just a matter of what do we get out of this? You know, they did a nice job Friday teasing that Kevin was finally going to snap and go back to his old ways. So it's just, what do they want out of this? Again, is this a one-off of Cody winning? Do they try to like extend this to future SmackDown episodes? And I mean, SmackDown kind of takes a reset again. It moves to USA here in a few weeks. So like, this is it's easy to pick Cody, but I can't easily pick how.
Yeah,
I don't know. So that's the intrigue. I think I know how it ends in terms of, or I think I know who walks away the title. Cody walks away the title, but how has it happened? There's a lot of question marks I have with what the execution is going to be here. That's my attraction to this match at least.
Well, I disagree. I think Kevin Owens is going to win the title. No, I'm joking. Of course, Cody Rhodes is winning this one. But what is time? I feel like when they announced this change, I was like, oh, that's like they're not moving SmackDown to USA. That's like way in the future. Who cares? A couple weeks. Jeez, that snuck up on us. Jimmy, explain how Kevin Owens is going to win this one.
I wish I could, but once again, clean sweep here. Cody goes over. Retains the championship. I got a theory, but it ties into the match we're going to talk about next.
Oh, well, that is the World Heavyweight Championship match, Gunther versus Randy Orton. I would love to see Randy Orton win the title. I would love to see him put his name further into the history books. But I'm a big Gunther fan too, so I'm going to be just fine. Gunther's going to win. Jimmy, what's your theory?
Okay, I think that Gunther retains the championship, but this match goes on earlier in the evening ahead of the Undisputed Championship match. Gunther goes over. Then at the end of the Cody-Kevin match, the Bloodline come out like they always do, and you know Kevin and them try to fight them off. Here comes Randy to try to even the odds as best he can, like he always does. Something happens, and they chase off the Bloodline. And as they're standing in the ring, wham, RKO out of nowhere. Randy on Cody. Gives him the stare down and see you, bye.
I'm going to go with the Ring General to retain his title. I disagree with Jimmy on the sense of I think that this match is what ends the show because of the geographical tie-in, because this is going to have such weight to it that Gunther wins. But I agree. I think Randy Orton and Cody, as I said earlier, Cody needs heels. I think you need Randy as a heel because that's where Randy is your most valuable. But I wouldn't do it here. I think that I think it's not needed. You have enough going on in this show, not needed. I would save the Randy Orton heel turn, the Randy Orton RKO out of nowhere to Cody. I'd save that for SmackDown's season premiere to USA.
What I love about Randy Orton is we know it's coming. And but we're all excited about it. I love it. I love Randy Orton. He's truly one of the best, in my opinion. Those are our prediction, guys. Let us know if you agree. Let us know your predictions as well, either in the comments or chat or whatever. But that does it for this show. The next time we talk about this, it'll be next week on Monday. Justin, welcome back. Glad to have you back. Any final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
Yeah, no, I mean, an okay Raw. I mean, it was what it was. Again, it's a go-home show. As we said, they're champion for Raw's over on Europe already. So I thought they made the most of it. Certainly a lot to talk about. Excited for Bash in Berlin. I love these international PLEs. They've become just must-see. You want to just be – you got to see them. You can't just read about them. You got to see them for the crowds, if nothing else. So I'm excited for it. At Justin LaBar across the socials. Here most Mondays with you fellas. I'm on Busted Open throughout the week at some point. Spar with LaBar usually now on Thursdays with Dave and Tommy. But then every single Sunday, 3 hours, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, co-hosting Busted Open on Sirius XM channel 156, Sirius XM app. Some weeks we have a version of a podcast. So that's a lot of fun. So there's no way to avoid me if you try. There's no way to avoid me.
And always good stuff. Everyone check out Justin's stuff on Busted Open. Jimmy, final thoughts. Where can we find you online? And did you think this episode was on fire right now? Or was it living under a rock?
I don't think it was on fire. It wasn't living under a rock. I thought it was a fine episode. I don't think it was a banger, as the kids call it today. But, you know, it served its purpose going into Saturday. I am looking forward to the pay-per-view, that's for sure. And, you know, we'll see what comes of it. And as far as where you can find me, you think you're sick of Justin. Oh, you're going to be sick of me. You can catch me here on Monday nights with you guys, Wednesday nights after Dynamite, the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and I. And RJ, who holds the glue together. We got a lot of great stuff going on there. My Ref and Rants, which I do every day from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, where I use my referee's discretion and just make little critiques here and there. That's about it. And now with the new project, with the radio show here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, myself and Donnie DeSilva with Huge Pop Radio.
So we got Busted Open, we got iHeart Radio, we got Jack Farmer at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. As mentioned earlier, I'm going to be doing the after show for Bash at Berlin. Also going to be doing the after show for AEW Dynamite this week, but I'm also going to be doing commentary for Fight Night 14, where we're going to have the winner of the LA Rumble face the Santino Bros World Champion. So that'll be a fun one. That'll be for free on YouTube, Santino Brothers channel. Follow me at Real Jack Farmer, and I will link you to it. that does it for us. Follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. And make sure to tune into NXT's After Show tomorrow and stream.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.